WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
For years, the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline has been the same, 1-800-273-8255. Now there is an easy-to-remember emergency number you can use to reach the Lifeline, 988. Why the change, and how will it help people? We're asking an expert on depression and suicide.
To find a person on the other end of that phone call, it tends to de-escalate because in those moments of crisis, people just want to be heard.
This is WBTV's Good Question. Sherry, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be of service.
You are the founder of 2020 Lives Changed, a nonprofit dedicated to facilitating conversations about mental wealth and suicide prevention. Tell me, Sherry, first a little bit about yourself and how you got into this.
I would be happy to. I actually spent 30 years in corporate America. I like to tell people I'm a corporate America survivor after 30 years in various leadership roles. And I noticed that one thing that was really starting to embrace corporate America was burnout. A lot of leaders, especially as we rise the career ladder, we end up having more and more stress and fewer people to talk to about it. So in 2019, I decided to start a for-profit business, which is called Phoenix Speaks Incorporated. After almost 30 years being on stages at conferences and conventions, talking about leadership and technology, I decided to pivot and make sure that my conversations were important and that we talked about the importance of mental wealth in the workplace. I also spoke in colleges and universities and middle schools, trying to have a conversation about mental health before it turned into a suicide prevention conversation. And ironically, in 2020, I also started a nonprofit called 2020 Lives Changed. Actually, I started in 2019, you know, October. And who knew that all lives would change in 2020? And so our goal is to do the same thing. We actually have a curriculum that we're teaching children about how to articulate their emotional state prior to them acting out in a violent manner.
Wow. First, tell me a little bit, I guess, why you personally have a passion for mental wealth and suicide prevention.
Absolutely. So after all those 30 years I told you about that I was just pretending to be this wonderful whole human being, I had never addressed the trauma in my own life. My dad was an Air Force veteran and died by suicide. My mom found him and was not able to ever really fully recover. And so for the next 20 years, she died by the slowest suicide. Alcoholism, drug addiction finally took her life. And I'd lived my entire life pretending that none of that had happened because there's so much shame and guilt associated with mental illness in a family. So I pretended that it didn't happen. But when I got divorced, when I got separated in 2016 and then divorced in 2018, I went to therapy. And my counselor wanted to talk about the one thing I did not want to talk about, which was my past, was not my childhood trauma. So in doing that, I realized that it was important to heal out loud. It became one of the hashtags that I use now, because you can't really heal from trauma alone and in silence. You have to do it out loud. You have to let other people know that you're fighting, because a lot of times they are fighting as well, and you can be that lighthouse, or sometimes people just felt like that there was no one else that felt things that they feel. And so the Heal Out Loud movement started in 2020. It's still going strong today. And my goal now is to take all of my experience from my 30 years in corporate America. I have two children. I have a daughter, 34, and a son that's 14. Take those learnings and help to save lives. It's become my passion since 2019.
That's pretty incredible. That is quite the journey, too. You mentioned not wanting to talk about what had happened in the past. Now that that has changed, do you feel personally a lot better?
Absolutely. I will say that, you know, people ask me that often now because it's funny. I feel a lot better because I am healing out loud, but the healing is still a painful process. And it is also still not linear. It's not like, you know, I'm a project management professional and we like to have like step A and then step B and then step C. And healing isn't that way. And what I'm finding is that though I feel a lot better, I feel very comfortable working in this mission. But a lot of times it's as if I'm ripping a Band-Aid off over and over again to make sure that I'm fully healed. And so it's not, you know, it's not a walk in the park. I don't want to make it seem as though it's that easy. I'm sure my therapist has to go home and pray about me some days, just pray that I can make it through some of the challenges that we're going through, but it's absolutely worth it.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk to you for this episode because we've got this new 988 number rolling out for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like all people will have to do now if they're in the United States is dial 988 and they will be routed to the Lifeline. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. And I'm so excited. I mean, whenever I'm getting calls to talk about this, because I've been talking about it for a couple of years, we knew that it was coming. So for it to finally come to fruition, for those of us who work in this industry, it's a blessing. It's something that we're very excited to be able to talk about.
Tell me how important first this Lifeline has been for people over the years.
So, you know, the number that people dial now to reach the substance abuse and mental health suicide, it's a hotline that kind of encompasses all of it. They started in 2005. Between 2005 and 2020, they probably saw over 20 million calls, 20 million and a half calls. Right. And that's just what was documented. Right. There are probably some people who tried to call and then, you know, decided not to at the last moment. But this 988 will be available for all. And we already have it so that people are already calling into this hotline. I don't know the data from 2020 till 2022, because I can imagine that it would be exponentially greater than the growth that they saw from inception till 2020. So there are a lot of people using the number. One of the challenges, though, is that right now that they're stretched, right? Sometimes those states, like Texas, for example, where I live, we are second worst in the country on being able to answer those calls. So we definitely, though we have the infrastructure now in place, we do need the human interaction. We do need the bodies to be able to answer that so that when someone calls 988, they actually are able to reach a representative.
That's a great point. The current Lifeline number, too, 1-800-273-8255. That number will still work and route you to the Lifeline as well, correct?
It will, absolutely. There are a lot of people that have been that number saved in their phones or written somewhere as a part of their safety plan. And so it definitely was not intended to be a disruption of the people who are using it currently. More so just an something to add to our toolkit. And I want to mention one other kind of really cool benefit is that when a domestic violence or a domestic issue happens and someone is tempted to call 911 because of the disturbance, if there is enough understanding about the persons that are involved, that it could very well be something that 988 could support instead of 911. That's one of the things that we've been looking the most forward to, is having people, you know, as far as the 911 dispatchers, trained with, is this actually a 911 call or is it something better suited for 988? Because a lot of people who are, you know, where it is a mental situation, they still end up in the prison system, which is not necessarily where they can get the most help.
That is very, very interesting. Do you know how long the 988 number initiative has been in the works? I know you mentioned, I guess, a couple of years. Has that been talked about for a little while?
I've been talking about it for at least 2 years. I'm not sure how long it was in the works before I found out about it, but definitely at least I've been talking about it at least since I started my company, which was 2019. So, and for me to have just heard about it, I'm sure it was around a bit before that. So So it's taken a while to come to fruition. Now we've got to iron the kinks out, kind of like everything else, right? Okay, we got the number active. I would imagine that we will need to start gathering some data on how many calls are coming in, how many of them are being abandoned, and that number should be able to help us figure out how many more people need to be hired in order to make that kind of a 100% answer ratio, which I'm sure is the goal.
I know you mentioned this being another tool in the toolbox, so to say. Do you know why they wanted to have this 988 number? Is it simply because it's just a quicker way to get to the Lifeline, or is it specific to one concern that people are going to be calling about?
So I think it's a little bit of both, right? I think it is the simplicity. I mean, who dials numbers at all at this point? You have it saved somewhere. I don't remember most people in my family, their phone numbers, right? And so the idea was obviously from an end user perspective, that ease of use, that, hey, it's very quick. It's something that's easy to remember. It's not that far off from 911, right? It's a very similar, it is an emergency, but it is an emergency of a mental type. And so that I know just ease of use is that as well. It's also something that was easy enough to roll out domestically across the country, right? So no one was already using 988. And so the fact that the rollout would be a little bit more seamless helped. And like I mentioned before, I think that the opportunity to dial 988 instead of 911, when you think that there very well could be something other than just someone acting out, right? To be able to have a person on the other end of that phone, to be able to talk to that person and understand the situation. And then, you know, it very well may still be a 911 scenario, but at least there's that opportunity for an intervention beforehand.
We are talking to Sherry James. She is the founder of 2020 Lives Changed, a nonprofit dedicated to facilitating conversations about mental wealth and suicide prevention. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to ask her more about the challenges that come with speaking about mental health.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
We are back now with Sherry James. She is the founder of 2020 Lives Changed, a nonprofit dedicated to facilitating conversations about mental wealth and suicide prevention. To your knowledge, I don't know how many folks you've spoken to personally who have dialed the number. How beneficial is the Lifeline to people who might be in crisis?
Extremely so. I do run across quite a few people in my practice and in the clients that I see who that's where help started, right? They may have been scrolling on Instagram or some social media platform and they saw an advertisement, you know, and a lot of times it just says need help. And we all need help. And so it's not something to be afraid or to be ashamed of. But when people do take that step to find a person on the other end of that phone call who can talk to them and understand what's happening, walk them through ways to articulate their emotions verbally first, right? It tends to de-escalate, a very large percentage of those calls, because in those moments of crisis, people just want to be heard. People want to be heard. There's something that they've either been trying to communicate for a very long time and feel that no one's heard them, or there's something happening with them physiologically, the lack of serotonin production or the inability for your body to process dopamine. I mean, these are some physiological symptoms, and a lot of times people think that it's just them. So calling that hotline helps tremendously. Our challenge and our fear is that more people will start using the service and we won't have enough people to answer, to which that has not as friendly of statistics, right? So we definitely want to be able to reach out to people at their first attempt.
In your experience, Sherry, how difficult is it to have conversations about mental health and suicide these days?
I will say that it's better. It is much better than it was when I was growing up. I mentioned when my dad died, it was in 1977. And so there weren't a lot of options. And even if there were options, they were not readily available. And if readily available, sometimes just culturally speaking, certain groups are not going to reach out for help because it's taboo. It's seen as something that we don't do, right? And so I don't know, I get like super excited to know that this is a start of something so much better. I don't know. I'm excited about it's a step in the right direction. And I think that people will utilize it. I think that people will want to work for them because we found, if nothing else during COVID, nothing can soothe the human soul better than another human soul. And of course, in case that's the human soul that's running around the house with you, because in that case, sometimes it's a different one. But yeah, like I hope that answers the question. I really, I believe that people will use this number. I believe that they will find help and understanding that there are humans ready, willing, and able to support them.
Big picture view, as a society, what do we need to do to make it easier to have these serious discussions that can be very impactful to people?
So I think that we need to start learning about it before we need to know about it, right? I mentioned earlier that our organization created this curriculum. And the reason we started the curriculum at kindergarten is because we start identifying and relating to our emotions at around that time, right? And so to be able to articulate what we're feeling before we get to that stage where we're considering where there is suicidal ideation or self-harm. I believe big picture is education, is the way to start. Just like we're teaching alphabets and numbers and things like that, we also need to start teaching at that same age, having conversations about how we feel. Right. Now, if we pull back that vernacular, because when people are like mental health, mental illness, suicide, yes, more people are talking about it, but they're almost becoming numb to it as well. And that's terrifying for those of us who work in this, you know, in this field. We believe that at some point this will lose all of its shiny, new, glittery attractiveness, and then people will stop talking about it, and we'll end up back in this kind of chasm where we're looking for people to support an extended number of people with needs. So, you know, big picture, I believe that the education has to begin first, so that children have the tools that are necessary to articulate their emotions, like, hey, a good day or a bad day. And if you, I don't know, when my children were in school, they used to get a smile sheet. And it's like they either had a good day with a smiley face or a bad day with a frowny face. And I'm like, wow, for a full school day, these are the only two options we had. And so I believe that education from the earliest age all the way out to C-suite executives, so that C-level executives understand their impact on the mental wealth of their employees. I think if we were to approach it kind of in that broad brush perspective, I believe that we can make a difference quite quickly.
I've only got one or two more for you, Sherry, and then I will let you go. I'm curious, though, what do you tell people if you're talking one-on-one? How do you explain to them that it is okay to speak about something that may be burdening them or something that may be very, very distressing to them?
Yeah. So from my personal perspective, now my business partner is the clinician and the in chief,
sure.
Dr. Cynthia Alexander does that. For me, the conversations with my clients are more relatable in that I just like for people to be able to tell me what they're feeling. And honestly, a lot of people don't know the words to say how they're feeling. They can explain their physiological state, my heart's racing, and you know, my chest is tight, and I have a headache. But the conversations that I have with my clients are always based on wealth, because what I found that everybody wants to be wealthy. And we all have the ability to be wealthy when it comes to our mental wealth, right? So the conversations I have one-on-one are, hey, tell me two things that happened to you today that were fantastic, like that you know were an absolute deposit into your mental wealth bank. And to be honest with you, people struggle with that, right? They're like, I don't know, today's been a bad day. It was all terrible. And I'm like, well, you woke up today. So let's start with that. So let's just say that that's a deposit, a pretty significant one, because we couldn't have done anything else without that deposit. And so we go through this kind of activity, like, okay, tell me what else was a deposit. Well, I was able to, you know, kiss my daughter this morning before she went to school. Okay, let's assess a value to that. Now, what happened bad? Well, I got a phone call from my employer and my position has been eliminated. Okay, well, that's a withdrawal. I understand how that can be, but let's talk about balancing. You didn't start off at a negative number because you woke up. You had some other deposits in your life this morning before you got that phone call. So now let's find out something to sandwich this with, right? Let's find some positive things that we can do from this. You know, some friends that are recruiters, you have access to LinkedIn. You know, there are tools that are available that in minutes you can change your status on LinkedIn from nothing to open to work. So here are some positives. So that's the feedback that I give to my clients right now as we talk about things that they're struggling through, not to minimize them, but to make sure that we're effectively documenting all the things that are going well and the things that are going bad and seeing what that balance is and then using coping mechanisms as a result.
And Sherry, before I let you go, I do have to ask, any advice you have for people, your best advice for anyone who hears this or sees this on air and is struggling right now or feels, you know, like a certain type of way, what's your advice for those folks?
I would absolutely say, you know, if you are in a state of crisis and emergency, please do reach out. Please do dial 911 or 988. You have access to NAMI. You can text 741-741 to NAMI and they will respond just as the 988 number will as well. Please reach out for help. There's no shame at all in asking for help. It's okay to not be okay as long as you are on your way to being okay. And so that would be my advice. Know that everything we go through, we get through. And when we look back on it, we always realize that it was absolutely necessary, no matter how hard it is. So please do reach out for help. Know that there are many of us here waiting to help and support you. That may have gone through exactly what you're going through or something very similar where we can help begin your healing process.
Fantastic message there. Sherry, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'd love for folks to find me. I'm doing all kinds of things. I will be at Freedom Fest next week. I'll be at Freedom Fest this week speaking on making sure that we're managing our mental wealth. So please do find me on social media and follow what we're doing. I'd love to see you there.
Sherry James, she is the founder of 2020 Lives Changed, a nonprofit dedicated to facilitating conversations about mental wealth and suicide prevention. Sherry, thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
You too. If you are in emotional distress or suicidal crisis, please reach out for help. Remember, you can dial 988 or 1-800-273-8255 to reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bull. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.